Gentile, born in Messiah, born in Yeshua, born in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, born in Messiah, born in Yeshua's love.
Okay, stop, hold on. That song is an abomination from the garbage dump of Gehenna. Both of those terms are incorrect. Let's correct this.
Judah and Israel.
One in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Judah and Israel.
One in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Help us, Father, to love one another. We humble hearts, forgiving each other. Heal our wounds, bind us together, so the world might believe.
Judah and Israel. Judah and Israel,
one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love.
To my Israelite kinsmen and women around the world who know who you are, and to the Gentiles who have been fooled into identifying as Gentiles and have no idea who you really are, may the divine influence be sparked within you and give understanding to you who have eaten the lies of 33,000 versions of Christianity. This is part 10 of Gentiles. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Gentiles is found in the Word Studies menu. What's better, finding out you are a Gentile who has been lied to, or thinking you are a Gentile and finding out on Judgment Day that you will be told to depart from me, I never knew you? If you are new to the truth that you are not a Gentile, and that the word Gentile is a Latin word with an added and incorrect meaning of non-Jew, don't worry. You didn't lose anything, except your ticket to the lake of fire. You can now get off the list of goats and get out of your pew in which you eat the lies of the pulpit bastard every sun god day. Put down the pork sandwich and learn what the scriptures teach. The churches promise life and prosperity, personal salvation, and a Jewish Jesus rapture flight to the mansion in the sky somewhere. The scriptures promise mortal preservation and blessings through obedience, and eternal life and peace here on earth, in the new skies and the new lands, with our kinsman redeemer, Yeshua Christ. The churches, and almost everybody else, believe that the New Testament is for and about Gentiles. This is because the deniers of Christ translators replaced the Hebrew goyim, the Greek ethnos, and Hellene into the Latin gentilis, and the unrelenting propaganda of the Jews have fooled the world into believing that the Jews are Israel, and everyone else is just a scum of the earth, goyim cattle, servile beast, Gentile. To the unlearned and deceived, it's the word of God and they believe it. Those of us, whom Yahweh has given understanding to, expose this fraudulent doctrine and try to get you Gentiles to see what has happened to our scriptures, our people, the message, and the true word of God. This study is ripping the Jewish matrix of deceit a new Ashkenazi hole, which is easy to do when you know the truth and believe the original words and meanings which Yahweh gave. I imagine right now you are feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole? I see it in your eyes. You have the look of a Gentile who accepts what he has been told in church because he is expecting to be raptured. Ironically, that's not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, dear Gentile? Let me tell you why you are here listening to this study. You are here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You've felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world, with church doctrine. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling deep in your Israelite soul that has brought you to this study. Do you know what I am talking about? Do you want to know what it is? The Jewish matrix of deceit is everywhere. It is all around us, even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth, that you are a slave, dear Gentile. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage, into a prison that you cannot taste or see or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. When you see and hear the truth, you are hit. You take the Gentile pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe, and continue to marinate in your pew in the pagan temples you call a church. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I am offering is the truth, nothing more. Follow me, and I will present the truth and expose the lie. We continue in Acts 21, verse 17, where Paul is speaking to his Israelite brethren. The other races are not our brothers or kinsmen. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things Elohim has performed among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the prince, and said unto him, You see, brother, how many thousands of Judeans there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. But wasn't the law done away with? This is after Christ. The churches are the ones who have done away with the law, because that is what the Jews taught them by their counterfeit traditions. Verse 21, And they are informed of you, that you teach all the Judeans which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. There was contention rising because many Israelites did not understand what happened when Christ died. Acts is all about the transition from the Old Testament priestly rituals and oblations, which expired, to the better covenant, in which we are to make spiritual sacrifices through obedience, knowledge, study, love toward our brethren, and our Elohim. Many Israelites were continuing in the sacrifices and priestly duties, which ceased because when Christ died, he became our high priest and mediator, and sacrifices were no longer needed. Verse 22, What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that you are come. Do therefore this that we say to you. We have four men which have a vow on them. Them take, and purify yourself with them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things, whereof they were informed concerning you, are nothing, but that you yourself also walk orderly, and keep the law, or the Torah. As concerning the Gentiles, which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from race-mixing. Then Paul took the men, and the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple, to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. And when the 7 days were almost ended, the Judean agitators, which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up all the people, and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people, and the law," meaning the rituals, "and this place," meaning the temple, "and further brought Greeks also into the temple, and have polluted this holy place." The Greeks were of the dispersed nations of Israel, and considered common or profane by the Judeans. Paul was also teaching that the sacrificial rituals were not needed anymore. They were fulfilled by Christ. Verse 29. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. The temple was an Israelite heritage. It was not for the world. It was not a religion you could join. You can see in museums today the signs that warned any non-Israelites not to enter, and punishable by death. The Judean Israelites considered the Greeks common, even though many of the Greeks were of the dispersed tribes of Israel. They both just forgot that they were kinsmen. Trophimus was a Greek and a kinsman. If the door was opened to Gentiles, then why are they being rejected years after Christ ascended? The door was opened to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the tribes that forgot their amazing family history. Paul was retelling about his revelation on the way to Damascus while on trial. Acts 22:21. And Yeshua said unto me, "Depart, for I will send you far from here unto the Gentiles." So was Paul the apostle to the Gentiles, even though Christ said, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel"? No. The Gentiles are simply the nations, which, by the original language, meaning and definition is ethnos, meaning nations, the nations of Jacob Israel. Paul is on trial in front of Felix, and the Jew Pharisees are accusing Paul of insurrection. This is because Paul, who was a Pharisee by profession, has been shown the truth by Yeshua and is preaching the word to his kinsmen, which the Jews, who are not Israelites, were teaching their own traditions and ruling over the people with their own decrees. Paul was upsetting their rotten apple cart. Acts 24:14. But this I confess unto you, that after the way which the Jews call heresy, so worship I the Elohim of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the Torah and in the prophets, and have hope toward Elohim, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense towards Elohim and towards men. Now after many years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings. Nation is G1484 ethnos, and is where the deniers of Christ inserted the Latin word and false meaning of Gentiles. And if Paul is a Jew, how can his nation be non-Jew? Search the scriptures, for the truth is in them. Paul has just stated that he is an Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. All the apostles were of the tribe of Benjamin, except Judas of Iscariot, who was an Edomite Jew. Acts 26:4. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation, at Jerusalem, known of all Judeans, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. The Pharisees were an Israelite Levitical priesthood until the Jews infiltrated and took it over. Paul was raised in the office and teachings of the counterfeit and Jewish priesthood and persecuted his own people, Israel. Verse 6, And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of Elohim unto our fathers. The promise can be traced from Genesis 3:15, 22:18, and 26:4, which is made with only the children of Jacob. Verse 7, Unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving Elohim day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Judeans, meaning accused of the Jewish authorities in Judea. In verse 4, it reads, Paul's own nation, not Paul's own Gentiles. Paul was not a Jew. A Jew could not be a citizen of Rome. Paul was a citizen of Rome. When Paul was extradited to Rome, he was kept under house arrest with a soldier that kept him. Acts 28:17. And it came to pass that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Judeans together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men, brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people, meaning the kinsmen, or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Sadducee Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had any accusation against my nation. Paul's nation was not Gentiles. They were Israelites. Paul also addresses in verse 17 his people, brethren, and the customs of our fathers, all of which are Israelites and not Jews or Gentiles. This Gentile doctrine has more holes in it than Swiss cheese with bullet holes in it. Verse 20, For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you, and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. He was in bonds. The Greek reads, the expectation of Israel. The Geneva reads, for that hope of Israel's sake. No mention of the church, just believers, Jews, or Gentiles. Verse 23, And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of Elohim, persuading them concerning Yeshua, both out of the law of Moses, the Torah, and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Why did he teach the Torah and the prophets to so-called Gentiles? Wasn't the law done away with? And wasn't the prophets and the Old Testament all about the Jews? No. Paul was teaching Israelites their heritage, the Torah, the history and prophecies, and the kingdom of Elohim. He was not teaching Gentiles a prosperity gospel, Jewish Jesus, and personal salvation. Verse 24, And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not, And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed, after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people, and say, Hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you, that the salvation of Elohim is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. They that will hear it are those to whom the gospel message of salvation was sent to, the nations of Israel that had amnesia. This gospel was foretold throughout the Old Testament, and it was never prophesied to extend to the other races, Jews, Gentiles, or the church. If Yahweh gives salvation to any and everybody, then why have a chosen, peculiar, called out, exclusive nation of people and make promises and covenants with them? Why demand segregation? Why go through all the trouble of the laws of the Old Testament just to throw them away in the New Testament and invite everybody into the family and inheritance? Why die so Gentiles can eat pork? The people prophesied about in Isaiah are Israelites. The gospel is for Israelites. The New Testament is with Israelites. The book of Acts exposes the trickery of the Gentile doctrine. G 1484 ethnos is used 44 times as heathen, people, nations, and Gentiles. G 1672 Hellene is used 10 times in Acts and translated as Greeks. Many of the Greeks were Israelites living in Greece. Romans 1:1 Paul, a servant of Yeshua Christ, called to be an ambassador, appointed unto the gospel of Yahweh, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Yeshua Christ, our Prince, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. This is a lineal statement of ancestry, the same race, kin, and nation as David, with the included references from Acts 9:15 and 26:6, and the first three verses in Romans, we see that Paul is bringing up his Israelite ancestors, the promises and prophecies and lineage of his people. Verse 4, and declared to be the son of Elohim with power, according to the spirit of set-apartness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience of belief among the nations for his name. The King James Version does not have the in this verse in front of nations where the Greek and older manuscripts do. This deletion of the definite article the has been exposed throughout this study. The older manuscripts have the word the nations. Which nations? The nations of Jacob Israel. Verse 6. Among whom are you also the called of Yeshua Christ? Paul is stating that they, the Romans, are also of the seed line of David. The Romans were the Zara branch of Judah, which missed out on the Exodus experience because they left Egypt before and went on to settle Troy and later Rome. Many of these Romans were Judahites of the tribe of Judah. Hence, Paul's epistle to his Judahite, Roman, Israelite kinsmen about the gospel, the wild olive branches. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of Elohim, called saints, divine influence to you and peace from Elohim our Father and the Prince Yeshua Christ. In verse 7, to be is italicized, which means it was added by the translators. It should read, called saints. The Greek reads as called set-apart ones. Only the children of Israel are defined by Scripture to be saints, or a holy seed, which means set apart. Set apart from what? Every other race and people. Yahweh is holy. Yahweh is set apart. But from what? Every other little g god, which aren't gods at all. Yahweh divorced the children of Israel and cast them off. They became pagan. Yahweh did not disown them, but he just couldn't dwell with a cheating whore. He didn't forget them either because of the promises made with Abraham, and because he chose Israel as his bride. The gospel is the message of reconciliation with all who were divorced, which was only the children of Israel. The Romans and many of the Greeks were Israelites. Verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, meaning those who did not speak Greek, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul was chosen by Yahweh to bring the gospel to the dispersed nations of Israel who forgot their heritage. It wasn't to get them to just believe, either. It was to gather the remnant. The remnant are those who will respond to the call, to take hold, to live it, to bring it to others, and to gain the understanding of their heritage, duty, and Elohim. In verse 13, Paul speaks of having some fruit among them also. Fruit here is G2590, karpos, which means an effect, a result, work, action, deed, to gather fruit, meaning a reaped harvest, into life eternal, as into a granary, is used in figuratively discourse of those who by their labors have fitted souls to obtain eternal life. When we come to the word and understand it, we are not supposed to just believe it, do what we will because we're under grace, declare we are saved, and wait for the rapture and tolerate unrighteousness in society so we don't offend. We are to praise Yahweh for choosing to reveal his truth to us, that we are his literal flesh and blood children with a duty to obey and live according to the way, eschew the evil, love our race, learn and live our heritage, know and call upon our God, and to know that we are called by his name and are not grafted in Gentiles. When we live and set the example of his truths, and that we are Israelites blessed with the opportunity to be the light in this dark society, then we are having some fruit grow from the seed that was planted in us. We must pass the knowledge on. Romans 2:8. But unto them that are intrigued by evil, and do not believe or are willfully disobedient to the truth, but are persuaded to unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Judean first, and also of the Gentiles. Amos 3:2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. The Judeans first, because they had the law and should have known better, and of the nations, meaning the dispersed 10 tribes of Israel, because they were children of the covenant as well. Verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Judean first, and also to the Greek, for there is no respect of persons with Elohim. We see in verse 9, Gentiles, where it should be Hellene, meaning a Greek, and in verse 10, it says Greek. Both are from G1672, Hellene, which should read Greek. But the translators again followed their own agenda. They now inserted the Latin word Gentiles with the fake non-Jew meaning into three different words of the original languages of Scripture, Goyim, Ethnos, and now Hellene. Paul shows that the Judahites had the laws, meaning the Torah, and still disobeyed, so it's not the law that saves. We are supposed to follow these laws and commandments. Yahweh is looking for brotherly love and mercy when the laws are broken. Romans 2:12, for as many have sinned without the law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. The house of Judah will die by the law, and the house of Israel will die without knowing the law. Both will die either way if they do not do the law which was written on their heart. Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before Elohim, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or even excusing. In verses 14 through 15, the nations, the dispersed of the 10 northern tribes of Israel, did things contained in the law by nature. It was because of the law written on their hearts. The only people with the law written on the heart are the G1484s of Israel. That would be the nations of Israel, ethnos. Is it not we white sons of Jacob who believe in Christ and brought the gospel to our brethren across the whole world? The Jews certainly did not. They are the ones perverting the gospel and denying Christ. Romans 2:16, in the day when Elohim shall judge the secrets of men by Yeshua Christ according to my gospel, behold, you are called a Judean, and rest in the Torah, and make your boast of Elohim, and know you his will, and approve the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the Torah, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. You therefore, which teach another, teach you not yourself? You that preach a man should not steal, do you steal? You that say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that abhor idols, do you commit sacrilege? You that make your boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest you Elohim? For the name of Elohim is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written, Isaiah 52:5. Now therefore, what have I here, says Yahweh, that my people is taken away for nothing? They that rule over them make them to howl, says Yahweh, and my name is continually every day blasphemed. Not only do we call him Lord, which is a title and reference to Baal, but we call him Jewish Jesus, and many even curse God for the calamity they find themselves in, which is usually a result of rebellion and disobedience, whether we do it deliberately or ignorantly. Verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth, if you keep the law. But if you be a breaker of the law, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. Meaning, don't just do lip service or go through the motion insincerely. Verse 26, therefore, if the uncircumcision, a reference to the 10 lost tribes, keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Meaning, wouldn't he be considered as a Judahite which kept the law? Yes, he would. Verse 27, and shall not the uncircumcision which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge you, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? Meaning, an uncircumcised lost Israelite who does not know the law, but who follows the law by nature, shall judge those who have the law and transgress. Verse 28, for he is not a Judean, which is one outwardly, neither circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Judean, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Elohim. Verses 17 through 27 are about hypocrisy. The circumcised Judeans who had and practiced the Torah were no better than the uncircumcised dispersed nations who did not have the law, but practiced the law by nature, in ignorance. Paul has been contrasting the Judeans who kept the letter of the law while making sacrifices for atonement, and then hypocritically returned to sin, and comparing them with the dispersed who did not have the law, but knew the difference between right and wrong in their hearts. I know it's confusing, all the lingo, but when you understand the identity of who is who, it will all make sense. The Judeans are referred to as the circumcised. They are basically the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. The nations, wrongly called Gentiles, are referred to as the uncircumcised. They are the 10 northern tribes of Israel: Simeon, Issachar, Dan, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Naphtali, Reuben, Asher, and Zebulun. They are called the uncircumcision because they were scattered and lost and forgot their heritage. They were all still Israelites, but became pagan. Really no different than our own people in the churches, who are lost, Jewish Jesus-worshipping pagans. Romans 3:9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Judeans and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seek after Elohim. The Israelites of Judah and the Greek Israelites were both under sin because they were all Israelites under the penalties of the law. Verse 9 is another time the deceivers with agendas put Gentiles where the Greek has Hellene. Romans 3:29, is he the Elohim of the Judeans only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one Elohim which shall justify the circumcision, meaning the Judeans, by belief, and the uncircumcision, meaning the dispersed tribes of Israel, through belief. Do we then make void the Torah through the belief? God forbid. Yea, we establish the Torah. Faith, or the belief, does not void the Torah, it establishes it. the Judeans will be justified by the Torah, which is part of the belief. The dispersed nations, through the Torah, or through the belief, because they did not have it or know it, they forgot it, they didn't live by it. The Torah and the heritage and history was known by the Judeans, and they lived by it. The Torah, heritage, and history was not known by the dispersed nations of Israel, but it was on their hearts. They needed to be educated and reacquainted through the belief. The house of Judah was the southern kingdom. The house of Israel was the northern kingdom. Yahweh is the God of the Judeans of the house of Judah. But what about the house of Israel? The churches say they disappeared, so that's why it says he is the God of the Gentiles also. Can you see now how everywhere it says Gentiles, it should read nations, and here it refers to the 10 nations of the house of Israel? Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him who he believed, even Elohim, who quickeneth the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. Genesis 17:5. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made you. Notice, in verses 17 through 18, and Genesis 17:5, many, it does not say all nations. This is an exclusive reference to Abraham's seed through Jacob, every Israelite nation. So, is this two witnesses that Abraham was a Jew who birthed many Gentiles? Or proof that Gentiles is a fraudulent insertion of a Latin word in place of Hebrew and Greek texts? The race of Adam, Anglo-Saxon Caucasian peoples, are the nations of Israel today. We are an innumerable number, just like Yahweh promised Abraham. The Jews do not fit the seed of this promise. They are less than 30 million in the world today, and they are still not even a legitimate nation. It wouldn't make much sense to read that Abraham was a father of many Gentiles in the Hebrew or the Greek. Isaac's sons Jacob and Esau were dedicated to Yahweh. Yahweh is described as the potter, and Jacob as the vessels of mercy, and Esau as the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. The children of Jacob are preserved and shown mercy because of the promises made to Abraham regarding the children of Israel. The children of Esau are devoted for destruction because they are merciless haters of the white race and are Christ deniers. The Jews won't be converted. They will be eternally cremated. Romans 9:22. What if Elohim, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? In other words, why keep the Edomites around? Well, how would this life be a test without stumbling blocks? How else will we learn to strive for our inheritance and position of sons? 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For Elohim has not appointed us Israelites to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Prince Yeshua Christ. And 1 Peter 2:8. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they, Edomites, were appointed. Verse 23, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, or loving commitment, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he has called, not of the Judeans only, but also of the Gentiles. Christ called for his sheep. His sheep were the Judahites in Judea, which kept the law and traditions, and his sheep were also the nations, which were the Israelites that were scattered and forgot the law and traditions, those of the house of Israel. John 10:16, "And other sheep I have," referring to the lost of the house of Israel, "which are not of this fold, the house of Judah in Jerusalem. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Matthew 15:24, "But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Romans 9:25, "As he also said in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved." Hosea 2:23, "And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, You are my people, and they shall say, You are my Elohim." By Yahweh casting our ancestors off, they lost their identity and heritage. They were sowed in all the lands where they went. They were shown mercy because of the promise he made with Abraham, and regathered them through the gospel. Verse 26, "And it shall come to pass, that in the place where it was said unto them, You are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living Elohim." Hosea 1:10, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass, that in the place where it was said unto them, You are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, You are the sons of the living Elohim." This prophecy has come true here in America, because when we disobey, we become as the heathen to Yahweh, and he does not know us. We are called Gentiles, not God's people or non-Jews, today by Jews, the churches, and the world. Besides what you have been told what a Gentile is, have you searched for yourself? Gentile. The modern teaching is that this word means non-Jew. This could not be any more untrue. All the older texts, both Greek and Hebrew, record nation. Gentile is derived from the Latin word gentilis, which means one who is not a Roman citizen. The Greek word ethnos means nation, race, or tribe, nothing else. The idea that it refers to anyone that is not a Jew is a Jewish idea. By allowing the perversion of our scriptures by the lying pen of the scribes, most of the world has given up the knowledge of their heritage. Without a fight, you have been stripped of your inheritance and placement of son, like Esau selling his birthright for some pottage. You are now an illegitimate adopted outsider who thinks you can choose to accept Jesus and be given something that is already yours. Verse 27, Isaiah 10:22, also cries concerning Israel, "Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be preserved. For he will finish the work, and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will Yahweh make upon the earth." And as Isaiah said before in 1:9, "Except Yahweh of Sabaoth," meaning armies, "had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom, and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of belief." The nations being the 12 lost tribes of Israel, who were scattered across the Greco-Roman world, which followed after unrighteousness, have attained righteousness when they respond to the belief. Verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, the Torah, has not attained to the Torah of righteousness. The Israelites in Judea, which followed after the Torah, were not necessarily righteous. Verse 32, wherefore? Because they sought it not by belief, but as it were by the works of the law, meaning the rituals. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. The rituals were a stumbling stone. It created a wrong attitude toward the ritual sacrifices of just going through the motions, as if completing or performing an atoning ritual can save you. The Judeans used it as a get-out-of-jail-free card. They were basically jealous that Christ came for the scattered house of Israel as well, who weren't keeping the ritual sacrifices and the laws of the Torah. The Judeans also forgot that the dispersed nations were their brethren. They called them common and uncircumcised. It would be like us hating Russians or Germans, or New Yorkers and Floridians, but we are of the same race and are brothers. Romans 10:11. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. The scripture is in Isaiah and is referring to the children of Israel. Verse 12. For there is no difference between the Judean and the Greek, for the same prince over all is rich unto all that call upon him. The Judeans were Israelites of the house of Judah. The Greeks were Israelites of the house of Israel. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the prince shall be preserved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they be believing in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a proclamation or a preacher? And how shall they proclaim except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, thy Elohim reigns. And Nahum 1:15. Behold, upon the mountains, the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes peace. O Judah, keep your solemn feasts, perform your vows, for the wicked shall pass no more through you. He is utterly cut off. Verse 15 of Romans says, except they be sent. That means that everyone preaching a gospel does not mean they are preaching the gospel, or that they are sent by Yahweh. As we can see that the 33,000 denominations of so-called Christianity are all teaching their own gospels, and none of their preachers are sent by Yahweh. The references of Isaiah and Nahum show the good news being brought to Israelites in Judah, and that they should keep the appointed feasts and perform their vows. Part of the gospel is obedience. To what? Our laws, our appointed days, the Torah, our heritage, and our God. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Yahweh, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? Do the churches believe the report? The scriptures? The Hebrew and Greek words and meanings? God's words? The constant statements of identifying Israel and Judah, or the red letters which are the words of Christ? No. Verse 17. So then, the belief coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of Elohim. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First, Moshe saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. The house of Judah would be jealous and angered by the acceptance of the common and pagan uncircumcised lost house of Israel, who weren't seeking Yahweh because they forgot about him. Verse 20. But Isaiah is very bold and said, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not for me. Being found or preached to by Paul. See how Paul did not go preach to the Gentiles, but to the 10 tribes that did not return to the fold and were without guidance. Verse 21. But to Israel he said, All day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people, referring to Isaiah 65:1. I am sought of them that asked not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts, a people that provoked me to anger continually to my face, that sacrifices in the gardens, and burns incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves, and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh, and broth of abominable things in their vessels, or bodies. The Israelites that were scattered and dispersed fell deep into paganism. They forgot Yahweh and his name and laws, just like today's churches. Romans is a letter to the Judahites that lived in Rome. One of Jacob's 12 sons was Judah. Judah had Phares and Zerah. Christ is from the line of Phares. The Zerahites left Egypt before the Exodus and went on to settle Troy and eventually Rome. Some even settled Spain. These are some of the dispersed that lost and forgot their roots. These are the wild olive tree whose branches were broken off. Gentiles are not the wild olive branches. They aren't even of the olive tree, and Yahweh will not accept a foreign species grafted onto it. The people of the olive tree are both houses of Israel and Judah, and we are the innumerable multitude of the seed of Abraham.
Look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, hey Abraham, look toward heaven and number the stars. If you are able to number them, so shall your offspring be. So shall your offspring be.
Which proves that they're not Jews, because they're not numbered as the stars.
So Abraham had Isaac, Isaac had Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And Israel had many sons, 12 to be precise. And they would be the fathers of the Israelites.
Which you are too, if you're white.
They were Reuben and Simeon, Levi and Judah, Dan and Naphtali. Joseph and little Benji. These are the 12.